This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did DEI die on November 5th?
I think it certainly did, and you're already seeing some of the consequences of this in the private sector, where several companies are sort of rolling out these plans to roll back their own DEI initiatives that they've set in place over the past few years. But of course, I think it's going to be much more difficult to tackle DEI at the root than these companies and even some Republicans may expect. And that's because this is a big money-making racket.
DEI is a big money-making racket? Who thought that was the case? Maybe that's why it hasn't worked out so well for companies who seem to have dived headfirst into the thought of prioritizing that over basic common sense economic principles. Let's talk to our friend, Deroy Murdoch, who is back with us. Happy Wednesday. Merry Christmas, Deroy. It's good to have you back, as always.
Merry Christmas, Merry Wednesday to you.
Yes, you're a nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor. When you are looking at the DEI movement, how close are we to possibly being done with this?
Well, I'm not sure if it will go away completely, but boy, these people have just done so many wacky, destructive, useless, and entirely unhelpful things that a lot of folks have walked away from this. And as my Fox News colleague Charles Gasparino says, the title of his book, Go Woke, Go Broke, a lot of people have used that term. And a lot of companies that were rah-rah for this stuff realized, okay, well, people aren't buying our products, our stock price is going down, our market capitalization is evaporating. And they said, you know what? Why don't we just go back to selling our goods and services and staying away from this sort of thing? Certainly with the Bud Light being the most dramatic example, when they embraced a transgender man, a woman, a man who pretends to be a woman, whatever term you want to use, Dylan Mulvaney, put this person in an ad, which was really cringeworthy. Their overall market capitalization for Anheuser-Busch dropped $27 billion. Big mistake. Arguably the worst marketing error ever made in American corporate history. I mean, right up there, right down there with New Coke. And I think other CEOs have seen this sort of thing and thought, well, let's try to avoid that. Although there are exceptions like Jaguar, which came up with this sort of non-binary, odd sort of gender fluid ad that didn't even show a car in it, which is kind of weird. But I do think a lot of people are turning their backs on this and thinking, you know what, it's not worth it. Let's just go back to what we used to do, which is make and produce products and services and sell them in and of themselves to consumers and try to make money that way.
You know, I think too, especially with the Anheuser-Busch thing, here in St. Louis, Anheuser-Busch is as big of a deal as it is anywhere.
And yeah, they're based there, correct?
Yes. And when we're watching this from the very front lines in St. Louis, watching the fallout, I have talked to so many people, you know, at baseball games for my son or just being out in the community. There are real people who are affected dramatically. I mean, I remember, I think it was over Memorial Day, I was talking to somebody who works with distribution and works with the trains that come through and said that they got the holiday weekend off because business was going so poorly that he always looked forward to these holiday weekends because it was time and a half or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. There are real people that are way downstream that are very affected by these businesses trying to do the publicity stunt, which is what it really feels like, of all of this woke kind of stuff. And you kind of have to ask yourself, do these corporations really care about people that are really affected by these kinds of decisions?
Well, that's a very good point, because a lot of this stuff comes out of either the, you know, the C-suites, the CEO or the chief marketing officer and those sorts of folks at headquarters. And they may get their jollies out of this sort of thing and pat themselves on the back about how woke they are, you know, how sensitive they are, what have you. And you're right. The folks down the line, miles and miles away, you know, if you're the Anheuser-Busch distributor in San Diego or in Miami or Seattle, you're far away from Seattle. From rather St. Louis headquarters, where I assume this decision was made, and you and your employees, the ones who are suffering from this, not for this nonsense, or you're a bar owner and your Bud Light sales fall, and I guess they can always put another keg of something else in, but you know, I know you've got at that point, certainly when this thing was a red hot controversy, you know, kegs and kegs and six packs of Bud Light just sitting there gathering dust because nobody wanted to touch it. I was at a Christmas party the other night, asking a friend to get me a beer, and he brought me a Bud Light, and I put on the table. I want to touch it. It's probably still there, getting warmer and warmer. A lot of people just skin up their nose when they see Bud Light. And this is probably 2 years after that controversy erupted.
So the whole country, we're 33 days away from Donald Trump coming back into office. And I've really even watched President Trump in his own presentation to press conferences like the one he had earlier this week. He has a kind of calmed, I hesitate, but I actually think it might be the right word. He almost has a humbled approach to the way he's being asked questions and the way he's making himself available. It's just different than we've ever seen it before. And people are interested in what he has to say. Is there a possibility that Donald Trump gets back in, the economy starts booming again? Is it possible for the Anheuser-Busch's of the world or for some of these other companies that have made some of these decisions to come back? Because I, for one, want to see them come back.
I think so, and I do agree with you. His overall tone in the last, pretty much since he got reelected, has been certainly self-confident. I mean, he's not turned into a pile of fettuccine by any sense. He's still a strong guy, but I do think he's been a little more calm, a little more relaxed, a little more restrained. Maybe not quite so much bravado. Certainly, the vulgarity and probably the grandiosity have been dialed back a bit, and I don't hear anybody complaining about that. Perhaps as a consequence of that, you've seen people like Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos and a lot of these Silicon Valley multi-billionaires coming in. The gentleman who runs SoftBank in Japan announced a couple days ago $100 billion investment in the United States economy, including about 100,000 jobs they're planning on creating. I think a lot of that is people seeing a guy who's a winner, who's apparently omnipotent. I mean, they can't stop this guy. And I do think this kind of warmer tone you're talking is probably part of it. And if he does achieve what he wants and implements his agenda, the economy booms and the crime goes down, the border is more secure, I think a lot of folks will say, you know what, this guy's a winner. Why are we fighting him? Let's get in line and stop the left-wing craziness. And if that's where the country is, if that's where the market is, that's where the consumers are, it only makes economic sense to move in that direction rather than try to duplicate the AOC or Maxine Waters or Kamala Harris model.
Yeah, but there's so much pressure from the far left in the last 10, maybe 15 years or so, since Hope and Change came on the scene in the mid-2000s. So much pressure to, like, hey, be on the right side of history and posture in a way that made sure that you every day had to make sure that you told everybody hate has no home here and whatever else that sign says that people put in their yard. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that people feel freed from that, that we can just get back to the business of doing the things that we are individually in business for. I think that America would really thrive from being able to get back to that.
I think that's true, and I also think a lot of people, maybe part of the reason you're seeing what we're discussing, is people are just exhausted. I mean, you can't get up every morning and hear about racism, sexism, slavery, and Hitler, and not just feel exhausted after year after year after year of this. Everybody's a racist. Everybody's either an oppressor or oppressed, and everyone walks down the streets a victim, and every man is a rapist. I mean, that just becomes draining, especially when so much of this is completely untrue. I mean, yes, there are rapists out there. There are racists out there, but most men are not rapists, and most white people are not racists, and most black people are not victims. And I think a lot of people are just tired of hearing that, you know, pretty much, as you say, nonstop since about 2006 to 2007 or so.
Jorai Murdoch speaking with us right now, nationally syndicated columnist, of course, Fox News contributor. Meanwhile, while all of that kind of posturing and pandering has been going on, there have been very impactful things happening in the last 4 years that have hurt our country, specifically the border and the wide open nature of it under Joe Biden. And we've seen lately, I don't know I don't know that Joe Biden's all of a sudden making these decisions. I have a feeling that Jill Biden is just mad at everybody, and she's trying to make everybody mad all at one time. But what do you make of this move to auction off these border materials that are sitting there on the southern border? I remind people that Kamala Harris was campaigning on building more border wall. Imagine she wins the election and Joe Biden starts auctioning off these materials. That seems absurd. And it's just as absurd with Trump coming into office.
Yeah, it's completely ridiculous. And they're doing this at a tremendous loss. These pieces of border wall, which are reinforced steel, Trump explained in his press conference on Monday, I guess it was, very tall. They're about, I think, 30 to 40 feet tall. Very tough steel with cement inside and rebar inside of that. So very hard to cut through that. So the stuff is very, very tough. It's expensive. And these folks are, the auction price starts at $5 for each one of those units. That's like a 95 or 99% loss. Enormous waste of money. And what that means is if all that stuff is gone, Trump is going to have to go back to Congress, ask for more money for this, which is going to be another fight, which I imagine as long as he controls the Congress, he'll win. But certainly if, God forbid, there's a Democrat majority in either house, that's going to be a total battle. It's going to take time to do this. It's going to slow everything down. And instead of being able to start putting the wall back in on January 20th of next year, it's going to be April or May or June or who knows when, with that many more opportunities for people to run across the border. So I think this is sabotage. And my father, of all people, had a really good idea, which is Elon Musk, who's got $400 million, should buy all this wall that's available, just purchase it outright, and either donate it to the American people or say, look, you know, Donald J. Trump, here it is. You can use it. I've now acquired this for the American people, and I'll just please reimburse me for the expense. And that'll be much cheaper than having to go out and spend, you know, 100 cents on the dollar rather than 5 cents on the dollar. So it's either it'll be free to the American people or 95% off, which is, you know, I'll take that discount.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I let you go, DeRoy, you know, you mentioned Elon Musk, and I think that's a really smart move. And with his responsibility as being an advisor with the Doge, I could totally see him doing something like that. Mm-hmm. But just on a side note, with Elon Musk, the man, how blessed is the United States of America that Elon Musk is here and willing to do the things that he's been willing to do?
Oh, enormously blessed. I mean, remember, he is a native of South Africa. He could have stayed there. He could have gone to England. He could have gone to Europe, who knows where. But he's in this country creating products, services, innovation, jobs. I think he's probably closest thing we have. It's sort of a combination of Thomas Edison and Henry Ford rolled into one, with rockets as well. He is just an incredibly brilliant, enthusiastic, and patriotic man, and I'm very happy that he's in the United States and helping our side of the aisle and on the Trump train and not, on the Kamala train, which I guess is sitting somewhere derailed in the middle of the desert. So we're very lucky to have Elon Musk, as someone said, as our wealthiest African-American citizen.
Yeah. Yep. We appreciate you, DeRoy. Merry Christmas to you. 1 week from today will be Christmas, so we won't speak then. But we're always grateful for you. You're an important part of the Annie Fry Show family, and we love having our conversations.
It's always great to speak with you, and Merry Christmas to you and yours and to our listeners, and look forward to talking to you next year.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you, DeRoy.
You bet. Thanks Bye-bye. A lot. Bye-bye.
DeRoy Murdoch, nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor, and friend of the Annie Fry Show. It is always kind of funny that Elon Musk is African-American. He just is. That's the science of it. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to speak with Brett Volosevich. I have to practice that name before I say it to him on the air. He is a former United States Army Special Ops Tech Analyst. He is a drone expert, and he is a member of Red Cat Holdings Board of Advisors. You have seen him likely having these conversations on Fox News quite a bit right now. Brad, when you were working with them, he has a theory on what's going on. How would you preface the kind of information he's going to be able to give us
when
we come back?
Well, what he is he's a special forces operative and a drone expert, and he works. Red Cat Holdings is a drone supplier for the United States military, so he's able to look at this information, and he's got ideas on whether or not these are military, whether or not they're civilian, whether or not they're foreign. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, well, we'll talk to Brett Volosevich here on the Annie Fry Show when we come back. On X, he is the Drone Warrior. If you want to go follow him on X before we start our chat when we come back on the YouTube live chat poll. Have you ever come and said hi on YouTube? We'd love to see you there. But you can also vote. You hear me talk about it every day. Now's the day. You find us on YouTube. Just type in Annie Fry, F-R-E-Y, and you'll see that we are broadcasting live right now. There is a live chat that goes with every live broadcast on YouTube. And in the live chat at the top, you'll see our poll. And we want to know from you today, what will come of the pending Gates ethics report that will be released this week? Bombshell or nothing burger? You let us know what you think. We'll talk to you, Brett Volosevich, about those mysterious drones next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Why does it have to be a classified briefing if these are just hobbyist drones? They're not military drones. Why is it a classified briefing on the Capitol Hill?
I'd have to refer you to Congress on that. Sharing as much information as we can here. I don't have the briefing in front of me, so I can't tell you specifically, what aspects are classified or not. I can assure you, though, that again, we are sharing as much information as we can based on what we know.
The Pentagon Press Secretary Pat Ryder answering Fox News Channel's Jennifer Griffin's questions about the classified nature of the drone briefing. And it's captivated the country. Everybody wants to know what's going on. It's probably even broader than just the United States of America. These strange lights that are flying above New Jersey, people want to know what they are. Mostly, I think people want to know that they're safe and they want to be assured that they're safe. And I don't know that we've seen our government officials offer that type of security and comfort quite yet. Let's talk to Brett Volosevich, a former United States Army Special Ops Tech Analyst, a drone expert, and a member of the Red Cat Holdings Board of Advisors. Brett, thank you for being here with us today. We've seen you talking about these drones, and it's really great to have you on the show to talk about it with us this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Annie.
I will say, like, as like the most civilian thing you can say, like, I believe that the government has things that I don't know about. I don't even know how large of an estimation it would be of what we, the American people, the civilians, do know about. Like, do we know about 5%, 10%? When you're in New Jersey and you see these lights above you, you get nervous. And I think what makes people more nervous is the lack of information. How do you feel about the way the discussion has been held and kind of extended throughout these weeks while these lights are above New Jersey?
Well, that's the biggest issue I see with all of this is whether you want to call it military testing, adversarial, or nothing at all. It's the way the government has handled this and their transparency with the American people that has really botched this from the beginning. They should have been open to the public about this from day one, but they took a long time to respond. And then pretty much we've got this major lack of trust, a lack of faith in our government institutions right now. And so the problem is it doesn't matter what they're going to say. It doesn't matter if John Kirby comes out and says nothing to see here. People aren't going to believe it, even if it's the truth. And we've got to fix that. But more importantly, we've got to fix the gaps we have in our drone defenses, the gaps we have in technology, in our national security infrastructure. We are not used to worrying about drones in our airspace. We've always owned that market for years. We were the ones that could send drones thousands of miles away in another country and fly them, from Nevada or New Mexico. And we own that space. That doesn't exist anymore. We're no longer own the drone technology space because of what innovations have been occurring overseas over the last few years, especially with the Ukraine war. So our government is not in a position to be able to detect and mitigate and down these smaller drones And that's why they're confused internally. So how do they come out and tell the public with confidence they've got it handled when I personally know internally they don't? They're catching up to what's really going on in other parts of the world.
Okay, so we're speaking with Brett Velikovich. My apologies for butchering your name before. I've been practicing and I said it wrong still. You are a drone expert. You know about these things at a level that most Americans wouldn't know about it. President-elect Donald Trump, earlier in his press conference was asked about these earlier this week, and he said they know what's going on. The military knows what's going on. Is the communication style coming from this government? Do you believe that it is just haphazard, and are they just fumbling the ball completely? Are they being evasive for a particular reason? Is there a benefit to being that way?
No, I don't think they're being evasive, and I don't think it's some big government conspiracy, but they're having a hard time articulating that to our country, because we believe that we are an extremely powerful nation, and we have billions of dollars that go to our Defense Department, our intelligence services, all this fancy technology. We have, you know, nuclear bombs. Like, we've got some crazy stuff in our arsenal. But it's hard to tell the average American that we just don't have the proper authorities, drone detection systems at a widespread level in the U.S., and convince the American people that that's the case, because it's like, where is all this money going to? Mm. Well, we have this major, huge, you know, we're first world country, very powerful, and so no one believes that we're not set up to do something about it, unless you start talking to the real experts that are seeing this stuff every single day, and they will tell you that we are not prepared. We are extremely vulnerable. This issue has been happening now for a couple years. I've talked to a few sources in the industry that work very closely with the DOD, specifically doing counter-drone technology, and they were told to prepare for this October and this December for these drone events to start occurring again. But the problem is that you've got all of these different agencies. You've got the FAA, the DHS, the FBI. Everyone's got different authorities. No one really knows who's in charge. The local law enforcement doesn't know what they're legally allowed to do. And so you've got this just massive problem with different groups not knowing what to do. And that's a government inefficiency issue. There should be a whole of government approach to fix this, because this is not going to be the last time that we're going to have drones flying over our airspace and not know what's going on.
How much of this activity takes place and it doesn't make the national news? I mean, I would assume there are
all the time across the country,
or is New Jersey just the hotbed?
No, all the time across the country, drones are flying over military bases, sensitive sites, and not even just in U.S. military bases in the United States. There are confirmed, you know, drones flying over bases in Europe, in Germany, and there was drones flying over the UK recently that they couldn't figure out. This is not hard to do. If I wanted to do it to the enemy, I could all day long, and there isn't much they could do about it. But that's the reality, is there are more drones in the world than there are manned aircraft. So a lot of drones don't have. If some kid in his backyard builds a drone, he doesn't put all the fancy technology in it that the FAA can use to track the locations of these things that are required by law. They don't care. So they're going to go do whatever they want. And that's the reality, is we've got a lot of drones out there that can't be tracked because there's just not real regulation designed to stop it.
You said, Brett, we're speaking with Brett Velikovich, who's a drone expert. You said, like, if you wanted to do this and track your enemy, that you could do that. So, I mean, is it, I'm just going to ask a really basic question. Is it obvious that our enemies are doing that here already?
It's obvious to the experts in the industry. It's obvious to the intelligence agencies. It's not obvious to the everyday law enforcement officer or governor or local congressman. And that's what has captivated the American people these last couple of weeks, is because people are starting to finally look up in the air. People are starting to ask real hard questions, and they should be. The American people have a right to know what's in our airspace, but we no longer control our airspace. Frankly, we no longer have control over it, which we used to. And that's because it doesn't, it's not difficult for somebody commercially to take drones that used to be reserved only for military, you know, first world nation states that have the big military budgets. It's nothing for people to create, create these systems. And that's the danger here is I've been really pushing, like, I don't even care at this point if it's adversarial, if it's some secret government project. I've been really just focused on why our government doesn't have a handle on it and why they can't honestly say what's going on. And you've got different government officials saying different things. You've got senators coming out saying it's Iran. You've got someone just came out this morning and said it's China. Then other groups are, you got President Trump coming out and saying it's our military knows. And it, like, there's too much confusion across the board because our own government can't get a handle on it. Remember when the president was nearly, President Trump was nearly assassinated recently. There was a drone flying in the air for almost 3 or 4 hours before that occurred by the shooter. The Secret Service, had they had counter drone technology in place that can easily detect those drones over those more VIP locations that we have senior leaders going to, they would have been able to determine that somebody was flying a surveillance drone, but they didn't have it there and they didn't employ it. And this is the Secret Service. Yeah. If the Secret Service at the federal level that should have a ton of budget can't even do it, what do you think, like, the New Jersey Highway Patrol guy who sees a drone in the air with a bomb on it, what do you think, like, he can do about it right now? Nothing.
Panic.
Nothing.
That's it. Yeah, it's very disconcerting for especially the people who are probably in that position in law enforcement. They know enough to know what the possibilities are, but they're getting absolutely nothing from the powers that be to provide the safety and security that they know needs to be provided. With the new administration coming in, I assume that there would be a an opportunity to have a new mentality towards our protection from these drones, or awareness of, or the ability to communicate surrounding them, especially considering they're as prominent as you say that they are. What do you have specific suggestions on regulations or policies that should be put in place regarding our American attitude towards drones?
Well, I think this event is shifting that. We're seeing, I think we're going to see a major shift in investment in drone technology. I think Red Cat Holdings is one that's seeing that already, just because the U.S. military is starting to use non-Chinese made drones. That's a big reason why they chose Red Cat's products for their infantry soldiers, because we've had to rely on Chinese technology for a while at the tactical small level, because frankly, it was better. I mean, that's it. And a soldier in a trench is going to use what's the best tool they have available to them. And if that Chinese drone's better, they're going to use that. But that's shifted now. Now we have technology like Red Cat and the Black Widow and systems that are really capable of shifting the balance of power into our favor in that regard. And I think you're going to see this move to Congress to start putting money in counter drone technology solutions also. And I think a lot of people are learning now how the industry is needs more investment in it, and how each state needs to be on the same literally wavelength with these systems to help protect the public.
We're speaking with Brett Velikovich. He is an expert when it comes to drones, a former United States Army Special Ops Tech Analyst. He's a member of Red Cat Holdings Board of Advisors. Brett, give us some examples. I understand that you might know exactly. If you did, you'd be the first one to make it clear to the American people here. But what are some examples of reasons why an adversary, or maybe just another country who wants to do a little looking, would fly a drone over a military base, or, you know, somebody's home in a suburban New Jersey or whatever it might be? What are some of the intentions that are within the realm of the technology that exists on these drones that these individuals could be, or individual companies or countries, I should say, could be using these drones for?
Yeah, it's all about the data. I mean, I used to do this in the U.S. government. My job was to hunt terrorists, senior level leaders within ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And I did that with drones primarily. And what you're doing is you're gathering as much data as you can, as much information, so that you can be use that for war and use that information. A lot of people think that drones are all about just high powered cameras. and a drone can, you know, like just flies over a city and, you know, whatever it's staring at, that's the only information it's collecting. That's just not true at all. You can put a lot of sensors, special technology on drones to collect information. Like you can collect cell phone. You know, I could take a small drone, fly it over your neighborhood and take everyone's cell phone numbers within seconds in that entire neighborhood. And there's a lot of stuff you can do with that. You can take IP addresses from computers. You can hack into different systems. Any device that an intelligence organization has that's light enough to fit on a drone, you can use it for that. And that's the danger here, is this collection on Americans that could be potentially used against us during war. That's really the danger.
I guess, I mean, that sounds spooky. It sounds scary. I know people like have freaked out post 9/11 about the Patriot Act and this sounds like that on steroids. It seems very intimidating to hear that type of thing. When we talk about our enemies doing that to us, what is the worst case scenario that you see happening from what we're watching take place in New Jersey that is actually within the realm of possibility with the lack of attention that we're seeing from our United States government? Like, how bad could this actually be?
Well, the biggest danger is there's bombs strapped to these things.
And that's a possibility.
As they're flying, and that's happening every single day in Ukraine. Bombs are attached to drones that children used to use a couple years ago, and they're destroying multi-million dollar tanks. They're destroying naval warships. $1,000, a drone that costs $1,000 can, you know, be outfitted with the right bombs and hit the perfect location to destroy warships. That's happening every single day. Like 70 to 80% of the attacks, of the strikes right now on the Ukraine-Russian war are from drone strikes. That's how they're fighting this fight. And when you talk about the sightings over President Trump's
Bedminster
area, you then start talking about the movements of VIPs. And that's what I did, right? I would follow bad guys around all day long. I would watch them go into their house and go to sleep and walk out of their house and drive around and do everything they did. And you would just establish that life pattern of where they're moving. And then when you're ready to strike, you strike. And that's the other piece of it, is if somebody starts putting bombs on these things, it's a whole different level. And if these drones can fly over those sensitive sites without much difficulty, it's nothing to put a bomb on them and do the same thing. So that's where the real danger is, I think, as you start weaponizing these.
It sounds like we're way behind on, like, do we have the ability to stop them? But it seems like the lack of ability to communicate with the American people right now really gives a lot of people, and it scares me that it scares you how haphazardly the government is addressing this current problem right now. Is it a matter of mindset to handle this situation the correct way? You get a new guy in there and policy changes and you can remedy a lot of these things, or is it going to take an enormous amount of time?
Our government is it's not designed to move rapidly and innovate rapidly. That's got to change. The FAA, I looked up recently, the administrators in charge of the FAA, I don't think we've had one in the last near decade that didn't last more than 18 months. The FAA is supposed to be in charge of this airspace, and drones will become more important to manage than manned aircraft in the coming years because of the sheer volume. And they sort of like don't, it's we've got these senior leaders that didn't grow up in the drone world, if that makes sense. I don't know how to quantify that, but it's like our Secretary of Defense currently. That guy, when he was probably a rock star infantry soldier, just a total just rock star, right, to become a SecDef. That dude did not get training on how drones work like I did growing up post 9/11. And it's going to take this like decade transition in leadership to start saying, guys, like there's a new way of fighting a war. Like we used to in Vietnam, when we were shooting at someone over the hill, we would just shoot at the, you know, the helmet that we saw popping up over the hill. We didn't know what was over there. We just knew the enemy was there and you fired that direction. Now with drones, we can see what's over that hill. We can say, yes, that definitely is the bad guys. And it's like a whole government change in mentality that's got to shift towards this. And I don't see it happening anytime soon. I just don't, I don't see the best we have right now is President Trump being able to come in there and maybe even Doge, right, with Elon Musk. Like, that's like the best solution to chop the excess and go right to the core of what's needed in these agencies. I just, like, that is a monumental task.
Yes.
I really hope that they can change it and start. The biggest thing, though, is, like, we need more money poured into our drone industry. Our industrial base, that built drones has been decimated. A lot of companies are just now starting to really get big investments to build out their drone warehouses and production, and that's really, really good. They haven't done it before because of regulations. Regulations cost a lot of money dealing with, and we have to flip those policies quickly and get our country back leading the drone war.
Yes. When you're talking about the people who are making the decisions right now not understanding drone warfare, I remember when the Senate was there was a hearing and they were talking to, like, Mark Zuckerberg, and they're like, you don't have to pay to sign up for Facebook. How do you make money? And he's like, advertising. And it was just such a foreign, and you're like, these people are not on social media. They might have social media managers, but here they are responsible for something that's big and broad and censoring the American people, and they don't even know where to start. And, you know, I just want to thank you specifically. I did a little Google, and I don't know if Google is always correct here, but when I looked up Brett's age here, it said that he's 41, so he's basically the same class that I am, and we just lost our connection with him, so we're going to get him back on the show because that was a really interesting conversation. He might call back. He's in the United States Army. He's another example of a guy who signed up post 9/11. He talked about growing up in a post 9/11 world, and these individuals who have signed up under these circumstances, they are a different breed. And I think it's really, really important. I don't know that we have as a country quite yet appropriately recognized those individuals who have stepped into the fray and been a part of this post 9/11 battle that exists in such a different way than it did in wars past. So it's exciting. Are we going to get him again?
I'll find out.
Yes. Okay. All right. Brad's going out to talk to Ethan to see what's going on. Being 40 myself, I have dear friends of mine who served in a capacity post 9/11 and was able to go in and fight a war that had no boundaries, had entirely different means under wild circumstances after 9/11, and a lot of people having to answer questions in a way that was just very difficult under a lot of people post Afghanistan questioning why they went there, because they've seen people like Joe Biden really disrespect them and the way that they've handled the post war over there. Great to talk to Brett Velikovich. Excited to have him on, and we'll get him back on again soon. Let's take a quick break. Went super long with Brett, but that was an interesting conversation. We'll be back after a few quick messages here. Don't go away.
This is The Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
Well, that was a really interesting conversation with Brett Velikovich. Did you get to listen to any of that, or did you just totally not care about any of it?
Well, I don't care, but I listened anyway, just out of professional obligation. Brett?
I hope he's not listening. I hope he's not listening.
Ryan, you're full of crap.
I'm going to have him back on.
That was very interesting.
Let's book him again at like 12:45.
Ah, yeah, maybe like on next Wednesday.
Yeah, recurring.
Yeah. Brett, we're going to need you on Christmas. Let's talk drones and bombs.
Okay, yeah,
Christmas.
Wow.
You know, I got a text message from somebody and we lost him. He told us ahead of time that he was in the mountains and he was worried about the connection. We went way long with him anyway, so it's probably for the best. but he said they absolutely could be strapped with bombs. What I mean, when you're talking EMP, which is something that would be devastating to the area that it affected, and the area it affects would definitely be impacted on the size of what that EMP would, how big it was. There's so many possibilities of what this could be, and I really wanted him to come on the show and be like, it's fine.
No, that was not what he said.
It's fine. There's nothing to worry about. You guys, we got this. We're America. And he was like, we're screwed. That's yeah. Unless we change our course. Yee.
Yeah, he was basically like, the technology's ahead of the government.
Don't you feel like the military-industrial complex, that they're ahead of the American government?
I mean, you'd think.
That's what the movies say.
Yeah, it must be true then. I actually, you know, I was in the industry myself.
Military-industrial complex?
No, not that industry. the film industry. About 10 years ago, people were really excited in TV and film about drones because, oh my gosh, you used to have to have a helicopter to get this shot. Now you can just use a drone, and people are using drones at people's weddings and all kinds of stuff, you know? So every tech guy
but
was
like
really...
But like camera drones, yeah.
Yeah, camera drones.
Not
to get
EMP,
amazing
though.
Shots of an aerial view of the bride
it's
walking.
It's the new way to make sure that nobody actually takes pictures of the bride.
Yeah.
Let the photographer do it. You just set off an EMP over there.
Right.
Just a little mini one. Boop.
But everybody was using these things, and they're so cool. You know, people were investing pretty good money mm-hmm. into the really good ones. And what I just heard him say is, those good ones, maybe not the ones you're getting.
He said $1,000
for your kid. That's more expensive than the one you're getting at Christmas.
You're going to pay more than $1,000. Like a photographer is going to pay a lot more than just $1,000 for their really nice camera.
Yeah, but those drones that you know people are using now and you've probably seen them. Those are the drones that Ukraine is using right now to bomb tanks. That means that this whole thing is available to the average person.
But not just tanks, though. I mean, they're dropping these things down in the trenches and everything.
Don't you think that the end result here is a really great Second Amendment argument for us owning tanks?
Yes. Shoot back.
Yeah, well, for you owning a tank.
You want me to own the tank?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because they're expensive. But then I would maybe be like, oh,
it's like
shoot.
A boat.
Let
you
me
don't
dig
wanna...
through yeah. my pennies here. Yeah, yeah. It's always the best thing you can do is have a friend with a boat.
Right.
A friend with a tank.
That's because if you're moving, you can be like, hey, can I borrow your tank for a weekend? You know.
Let's take a quick break. 2 o'clock hour right around the corner. The YouTube live chat poll. Come vote. Annie Fry YouTube channel. What will come of the Gates ethics report that is going to be released this week? Bombshell or Nothing Burger. We'll be right back.
In Missouri,